Bibles, Isaiah chapter 39. I did remember 8 verses. Now you're probably saying, why do you not remember 8 verses? Well, there's 3 different passages that this story's in. So I've read those 3 different passages, and so I should remember that there was 8 verses. But I was right, yay! And so, not very long. So remember this, this is a great king. The Bible tells us he was the greatest king of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. There wasn't a king like him before, and there wasn't a king like him after. Now remember, the Bible would suggest in pretty clear terms that David is the greatest king ever of Israel. And because of the sake of David, God blesses Israel tremendously. But Hezekiah was this great king. But the Bible is so real, it's so honest, it will not let us escape without seeing the struggles that every individual has. Very few individuals in the Bible are mentioned without some issue. Daniel really was one of the few. You know, Joseph, you could argue, that was another one. But very few individuals in the Bible. Hezekiah was just a great king. He really loved the Lord, and the Lord knew that. But he had some issues, just like all of us. And this issue, I think, you'll see, it's pride. And no one is immune. Maybe immunity's on my mind a lot, right? So no one is immune to this. Let's read these 8 verses, and we'll get some other background in 2 Chronicles. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 39. It says, at that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick. What we studied last week, Hezekiah had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. And there was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah, the prophet, unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah, if you notice, he only answers the second question. And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, Isaiah, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Will you turn back in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles? I want you to see a little bit more perspective of this story. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 24. I'll give you a second. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Chronicle, opposite alphabetical order. I tell you those, again, those are all sword drill techniques that if I ever have a sword drill, you should learn those. Because I always struggle. Did you ever struggle when you're memorizing the books of the Bible, right? Never did? I always said SKC, right? Okay, only me. So 2 Chronicles chapter 32, it's going to tell us what the issue that Hezekiah had. Because if I only had Isaiah 39, it would be conjecture. Why was the Lord displeased with Hezekiah? But praise the Lord, the Bible removes conjecture, and it tells us what the issue was with Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 24 says this. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 26. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. Moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him. Not that the Holy Spirit departed, but God left him, the power of God, to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now the question is, that he might know all that was in his heart. I think it was so that Hezekiah would know all that was in his heart. I do love verse 26. It says how Hezekiah responded. Hezekiah humbled himself after being confronted by Isaiah. And I love that 2 Chronicles 32 gives us that perspective. Now, let's look back to Isaiah chapter 39. Isaiah chapter 39. Now, let me just give you just a little background here. It's kind of fun because if we aren't careful, we will think, Babylon! Mighty Babylon! Well, Babylon's not mighty yet. And so, you know, just a little history is that God did a mighty work, 185,000 Assyrians that were just destroyed by the angel of the Lord and their corpses laid, and God gave the Judah a great victory, great victory. Well, then Hezekiah was going to die, and Hezekiah wept before the Lord, and he brought up all that he had done for the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. And the Lord extended his life 15 years. And the Lord gave him a sign, remember? It turned back the clock 10 degrees, 20 minutes. But it was noticeable. I want you to remember these words in 2 Chronicles. When the ambassadors of Babylon came, they came to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. They came to see, how did this happen? They heard he was sick and they were glad he was well, but the wonder that they came to see was what only God could do. That God can turn back time, or he could have accelerated time, and they came to inquire about God. Here's the challenge. Hezekiah made it about himself. And pride is that thing that will destroy us. Now let me just tell you one other thing about Babylon. It's about 100 years until Babylon will come into power. Now there were skirmishes with this guy that I hate pronouncing his name. You guys laugh. You're like, you know, let's hear him say this. You know, I like Chuck Swindoll whenever he comes to this. I've told you this before. He goes, difficult name. Did you tell me that? You told me that. Hard name, whatever, you know. It'll change in 10 years. It'll be a different person saying a different phrase. But hard name, right? So Miro Doc Baladan, right? And the son of Baladan, right? It's like, why make it so more difficult? But the interesting thing is history would tell us that there were skirmishes where this king would fight the Assyrians and take over Babylon. He had it for 5-7 years. And then the Assyrians would come and defeat him. And then he would come and defeat them. And it was back and forth. Babylon was a city that was well desired. And so this was going on. But Babylon, with King Nebuchadnezzar, did not come into power for another 100 years. So that kind of gives you some perspective. So what happened was they sent ambassadors to Hezekiah. They sent a letter and they sent gifts and they sent presents. That's why the Bible would always really caution us to take gifts and presents from others. I do love this, that for the most part, I'm sure there's tons of violations, that our government does not allow our representatives to take gifts because of that very thing. If your company is a company that has really any understanding, they would have it in their bylaws that you can't take gifts because it will steer your heart, it will move your heart, And it apparently did for Hezekiah as well. Let me just give you some perspective of the pride that all of us will struggle with. Pride is that kind of invisible gas we've talked about. I love this quote by Warren Wiersbe. Listen to this. He says, when Satan cannot defeat us as the roaring lion. So you remember 1 Peter 5, it says this. Be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So the Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so some of us, this is good. This would be a good thing. We are ready for the lion. Roar! Right? Though, you know, I've seen some videos, and those guys are pretty sneaky, right? And they get in the tall grass, and then they pounce, right? But he's a roaring lion, and sometimes he doesn't make it any secret. He's after you. And we as believers, the more we mature, the more we grow, we ought to be able to defeat the wiles of the devil. But Wiersbe said this, when Satan cannot defeat us as the roaring lion, he comes as the deceiving serpent. What Assyria could not do with weapons, Babylon did with gifts. Is that just amazing to you? A hopeless situation surrounded Hezekiah in Jerusalem. 185,000 Assyrians were surrounding Jerusalem. And Hezekiah refused to give in, and he completely trusted the Lord. But then he let his guard down. It's called pride. Pride. We'll look at that tonight. Let me just read a few verses for you. I want you to just hear these. And in fact, you know what? In fact, turn to Psalms, the book of Psalms. We're going to look at a couple verses from Psalms, a few verses from Proverbs. Since it's right smack in the middle of your Bible, we'll look at some of these. While you're turning there, I do want to remind you, what was the cause of the fall of Lucifer? Pride. When you see this term lifted up, right? Many times it's you're lifted up, and the Bible doesn't always say that, with pride. You see, there are two choices in life, and two choices nearly every day of our lives. Look, and this is my battle, and I know it's your battle. Who will you live for today? You know, we ought to make plans for tomorrow, but you don't know if you have tomorrow. Who will you live for today? Here's the two choices. You or God? Me or God? Every day. Will I live for Jesus or will I live for myself? And when we live for ourselves, it's called selfishness and it's driven by pride. Just listen to some of these verses. Look at Psalm chapter 10. I love front row scholars, the peer pressure, you know, who can get there faster, right? It's good. Caleb came in last there. Just kidding. Psalm chapter 10 verse 2 says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. The Bible would link pride with abuse. Pride based on our wealth. Pride based on the prosperity God's given us. Did you see in 2 Chronicles how it talked about how amazingly prosperous Hezekiah was? That's an easy target to make you and I just full of pride, is it not? Hezekiah was blessed abundantly, and the Bible says the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Look down just two verses to verse 4. He says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see, this is important. This can be really subtle in our lives. When we do not turn to God, when we do not lean on God, when we do not depend upon God, even for the simple things, we are full of pride. We are full of ourselves. We're full of self-sufficiency. There's no such thing as the self-sufficient Christian that's right with God. We need to be Christ. You know, we need to be Christ-dependent, right? Not self-sufficient. Yes, you should work. If you don't work, then you shouldn't eat. But if you got the health to work, you had parents that taught you a work ethic, and you go to work when you're not feeling well. Praise the Lord for that. Don't get puffed up about it. And the Bible says that when we don't seek after God, we are like the wicked. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 8. I won't read the most popular verse in Proverbs, pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. I'll quote it, but Proverbs 8, verse 13, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Kevin, we talked about the fear of the Lord. This verse here will give you a little insight more in the fear of the Lord, what we talked about the other day. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." So the Lord says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You remember this? When we don't fear the Lord, the opposite would be that we would give in to evil, give in to sin. Right? And you'll see that pride, arrogancy, and evil way and the froward mouth the Lord also hates. And so that is kind of a definition. Look over to Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. This is always important to remember the end. Because pride doesn't always manifest or show the outcome right away. When we have pride, we can walk around and everything seems okay. But the Bible says in Proverbs 11, 2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." And so pride, you see, pride is one of those things that is more subtle, and the consequences of pride are somewhat later. And so we can be full of pride for a longer time, and then what happens is when pride manifests itself, it brings shame. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. This is a verse that has been ringing in my heart and mind for now probably a month or two. I love this verse. Because really, it's this, when we have contention with others, no matter how contentious they are, but look at this. Proverbs 13, verse 10. "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." So when we have contention, it's because we will not give in. You understand this. You can diffuse a contentious situation by submitting, by not having to have it your way, by being kind and gentle, soft answer turneth away wrath. But pride is what brings contention. And so remember, this is important. It's important for me. Whatever contentious elements that I have in my life with people, it's because of pride. If I didn't have pride, it wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm right. It doesn't matter if they're wrong. You know what? The Lord would want me to avoid contention. Always tell the truth. You don't always have to tell everything that is the truth. Right? I'm not suggesting you lie, but you don't tell, you don't be kind in all that we do. But pride is this horrible, destructive element. Now let's look back to Isaiah chapter 39. Isaiah chapter 39, and we'll look at really just four elements that I see here. This would be just it would be so fun. Most messages would be fun to have it in a Sunday school environment that we could have discussion. But I want you to look here that what I see here is this happens. Look at this in verse 1 of chapter 39. At that time. What time was that? After God healed Hezekiah. He has 15 more years. So it's interesting. It looks as though this very well could have been before Hezekiah still had any children. I just want to show you this because look at this in verse 7. When Isaiah gives the pronouncement, he says, "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget." You know, God's always good even in his negative pronouncements, because you got to understand this. It's like, this is pretty rough. This is pretty rough that he's declaring to Hezekiah. But in that, God's grace is still manifest that Hezekiah just learns, I'm going to have a son. Wouldn't you rather hear that you're going to have a son under different circumstances? I don't know if this is the first time, or I don't know if this was, we can't be sure of that. But it was at that time, it looks like it was shortly after this this wonder that God did. I love this. I want to come back to this in future weeks. You know, Gerald mentioned this. You got to understand, it's, the earth's rotation, the earth, rotates one time a day, right? And so then it, what does it do? Does it rotate one time a day, or is it? It spins on its axis, what, 300? How does it do that? Anyway, you know, I got to look this up. I got to look all this up. But for it to go around, it rotates, right? Yeah, around the sun is 365. Thank you for that, honey. It's, here, you want to come up here? Anyway, but it's all good. I wanted to hear that. I did. So it is, but you know, if you think about that, right? How fast is the earth rotating? And I know you could Google it. Don't Google it now. Just later. We'll get the information. How much is it? Oh, I think it's more than that. Somebody Google it and tell me here in just a second, right? And so here we're going to put, who wants to be on that? Okay, Randall's on that. Nobody else. You were like, I was Googling. Now, bing, 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 bing. Hey, why do you bang when you Google? But you got to understand that when God did this, you know, I mean, if he's like, you know, he puts it in reverse, right? And so, you know, and there was no effect on humanity. That was God intervening. It was a wonder. It was amazing, right? And I don't want to... 1,000 miles per hour. 1,000 miles per hour, right? Yeah. Well, we know Victor can sing, and he knows how fast the earth rotates. That's it. Yeah, he can Google, right? So it's 1,000 miles an hour, and then it boom, hits the brakes, and then goes in reverse. And it's an amazing wonder, right? So here's what happens. First thought I want you to see that I see. Pride can easily follow great victory. Pride can easily follow great victory. Here's what happened. You understand this. This is great victory that it looks as though both of them happened in relatively short order. There was a physical side of the great victory, and that's really the sickness unto death that was healed by Hezekiah, right? I mean, that's amazing. Then there was a spiritual side. You could say it was physical too, but I think it was more spiritual because God intervened. They didn't. Not an arrow was shot at Jerusalem, right? So God intervened, gave them great victory. Physically, he healed Hezekiah, gave great victory spiritually. He killed the Assyrians, 185,000 of them. And what happens is this. We got to understand this. When God gives us victory, when God gives us blessings, that's the pattern that we see in the Old Testament, right? It's to be our ensample, our example that we can learn from. And when God shows us this, it typically is this. You think it's the opposite. When life's going rough, then I'm going to sin. For the child of God, you cannot give up. You cannot quit. I'm talking for the long term, right? And so understand that. We as children of God, well, there might be a time of bitterness where we want to be angry with God, and we can be angry with God, but the Holy Spirit that indwells us will bring us to understand how great our God is, even in difficulty. The problem is, it seems that we ignore it when things are going well. And so Hezekiah had great victory. He's healed. And the Assyrians are defeated. And he begins to be full of himself. Will you look at me and with me in verse 2? I want you to notice these pronouns that are used. I do catch these, and I want you to underline them. So maybe if you underline them, only do this because the next time you read Isaiah 39, it'll remind you it's about him. It's about Hezekiah. Look at this in verse 2. And Hezekiah was glad of them, right? They didn't come for you, Hezekiah! You know, they came because they wanted to see and learn about the wonder that God had done. But Hezekiah's like, I got a story that I'll finish with. And the name of the story is not mine. It's called Palm Monday Donkey. Palm Monday Donkey. You can just imagine the story. The donkey misunderstood and thought it was all about him. And wondered why when he went strutting into town after Jesus had, you know, unmounted, that they weren't so interested in him. It wasn't about the donkey. You see, but Hezekiah thought, he says this in verse 2, and Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things. Were they his? The silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then look at verse 3. Then came Isaiah, the prophet, unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men? We don't hear what Hezekiah said, whether he answered it or not. And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me. Not according to 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah. They came because of the wonder of the Lord. You see, this is so important for us. You know, the world, if they heard me preaching a message like this, they would just, they could not understand it. Because I preach, and I believe the Bible says this, you're nothing. But oh, God loves using nothing. He would delight in using you. And He does delight in using you. But what we must remember, we are nothing. Oh, but I'm an heir to the King. It has everything to do with the King. There's nothing like knowing my sins have been washed away. My sins have been forgiven. Gone, gone, they're gone. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's not about us. But I will tell you, we so quickly can fall into that, that Hezekiah was a great king. But he, oh, my heart breaks for him. You see, pride can easily happen at your victory moments. You know, struggles can happen at your victory moments. One of my favorite stories in all the Bible is Elijah at Mount Carmel. And Jezebel, right after that, said, if you're not dead this day, I mean, and he ran. I mean, you talk about victory, but you see, we don't really receive the victory because he loved the people of Israel. And I love that they really didn't turn from their sin. They were in awe of what they had seen. And Hezekiah was still discouraged from that, and he got sucked back in. But it was probably his mountaintop experience. I was on Mount Carmel. Saw where they slaughtered the prophets of Baal right below in the stream where the blood would flow. It was just so fascinating to stand on history and see that. It's amazing. But when you see that Elijah, he also had that. So I want you to know this. Praise God when things are going well. But I will tell you, God can bless. I mean, and it doesn't talk about it how, but He blessed Hezekiah in every way that you would like to be blessed. Would you love God to bless you financially? I know the spiritual thing is, no, not really, Pastor. You liar. You know? And you know, He delights in that. You know, but there's great risk with that, right? So I'm telling you this, when God doesn't overwhelm you with riches, I think that may be His kindness to you. Because if you read 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm telling you, be afraid of riches. Very few handle it well. Hezekiah got puffed up with himself. I want you to see, secondly, that pride can cause us to let down our guard. Pride can cause us to let down our guard. Or let our guard down. I love my corrector of my phrases. And so, pride can cause us to let down our guard. First thing I want you to notice is giving complete access to the enemy. You see, Hezekiah didn't hold anything back. Now, he fell for this, you know, so let me just show you these three things here. So let me just, providing full disclosure, I want to talk about that one first. And so he justified it with this. Babylon is so far away. No risk. Somebody else did that in Israel's history. Joshua with the Gibeonites. Remember that? Remember they made their wine pouches and their bread moldy and like they came from a far country, and Joshua didn't pray about it. He entered into a league with the Gibeonites, and then as they go over the hill, shortly thereafter, they find out, oh, you lied to us. You don't have to worry about people lying to you if you just obey God. You know, you should probably pray about major decisions, right? You should never enter into a major decision without praying about it. And so Hezekiah showed these men, just showed them everything that he had. And so, you know, it is We've got to be careful that this is, you know, the enemy. Don't let your guard down. Gave access to the enemy. Hey, you come in here. How do we give access to the enemy? He said, hey, enemy. And he discounted it. Oh, you're not an enemy. Little puny Babylon. Big time Hezekiah now. Did you hear? 185,000. One night. He didn't have anything to do with it. I don't know if he said that, right? But he gave complete access to the enemy. And how do we do that? I was just jotting a few things down. Maybe our music. Oh, not that big a deal. Oh, here we go again. Legalist. I'm not. You know what? You tell me how your music glorifies God. I'm really interested. I don't know who listens to what music here. I'll tell you, I think you'd be better off to listen to no music than listen to the devil's music. Do you think the devil doesn't have music? If you don't think the devil has music, cuckoo, I'm just telling you. So now the real question is, what is the devil's music? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you play a song before the Lord? You and the Lord, during your time of devotion with God, and if there's a questionable song, play it before the Lord and see. You'll get a response. If you really are want to worship and say, Lord, what do you think about this song? How does this glorify you? And when God throws up on you, then maybe you'll understand it. The devil has music. Anybody say the devil does not have music? The question is, what is his music? Be careful. You'll let the enemy in through your music. What about relationships? Relationships. I've seen people destroyed by a woman, by a man. I watch, as a pastor, I don't know why I'm more alert to it, I watch the devil moving people that don't even go to church here through a man or a woman and destroy them. There's some people that aren't coming here right now and declared they were saved, and I'm still working with them, trusting they're saved. There's a woman. Rather have a woman than Jesus. It's a blessing to have a spouse. It's a blessing to have a companion. But you see, music, relationships. What about your job? Oh, my job, you know. My job, it's funny, right? I love new believers, right? They go, why is it? They ask these questions, and I'm like, why is it that there are fewer people on Sunday night and Wednesday night than there are on Sunday morning? They ask that genuinely wondering because you know why? They want to be here. I guess the answer is, here's the reality, because the others don't want to be here. And then you have to ask, why don't they want to be here? And I mean, you know what? If you want to be a Baptist, you're going to be at church a lot. Amen. The problem is, if you want to be biblical, you don't have a lot of options. Right? So you're like, wow, I need to find a Baptist church that has one service a week. You can start to find them, but they're probably not a Baptist church. They just have the name. I'm not saying you have to go to church three times a week. How about five? I'd be all for that. I really would. I have nothing else to do. I'm just sitting around waiting on Wednesday. Just kidding. But it's we let our job get in the way, right? Don't let your job get in the way. It's how the devil, you know, just nudges into your life. You know, a lot of people, they give access to the enemy because, you know, what we have in the 21st century is, I want cool Christianity. You know, I need to be cool. And they let you know, I've just got, my reputation is at stake here, preacher. If you let your reputation get at stake, then you've let the devil's nose get inside the tent. He'll be dominating that tent in just short order because we've let the devil have access. If cool is a priority for you, then you're at great risk. Now, here's the wonderful thing, right? I think I'm cool. You know why? I isolate myself with just God's people, pretty much, right? And, you know, I mean, when the world doesn't think I'm cool, it's like, you just don't know, man. And you know, isn't that good? I tell you, when you're with God's people, don't you feel cool, Victor? When you're with God's people, and then when you leave here, not so cool. No, it's none of us are, right? I mean, I'm just telling you, the world thinks every one of you are like geek goofballs. I just have to laugh about that for people that are trying to have cool Christianity. They have inhaled and they have just gotten around so many Christians, and they really, if you told them what you really believe, the world would go, oh man, you are weird. Why don't you tell them what you believe? We pursue things that are meaningless. We let the devil have access to us. Then listening to flattery. They came and they just told Hezekiah, oh man. And you got to wonder, when Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and says, hey, it's 100 years later. But do you think they took notes? Took notes. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm running a little low on funds. That's right. Jerusalem is loaded. Hezekiah, 100 years ago, showed us everything. And all they have to do, see, I wonder, was Hezekiah words of affirmation? You don't know. It might appear that way, right? Because he let words influencing. Oh, come on in, you know. Because look at this. Look at this. Verse 2, and Hezekiah was glad of them. You see, pride can come after victory. Pride can cause us to let down our guard. The third thing is, pride can blind us to the tactics of the enemy. Pride can blind us to the tactics of the enemy. They're subtle. They're subtle. And you know, the enemy just comes and they just, you know, ask a few questions and they just want to see, you know, and you know, and I love this because we don't get all the insight. It said, what said these men in verse 3? What they did is, see, these men, their tactics were, hey, we're harmless. You know, here's the key. Some of you might say for friends, you might have a friend that you've said, you know, it's just not a good idea for us to be friends. I mean, you really need to be that blunt with the worldly people. And they'll go, man, I'm okay. I'm okay if you go to church. It doesn't bother me. You see, that's the line that guys give girls all the time. Well, if you want me to go to church, man, I'll go to church. You know, if the guy that is interested in you is not committed and not going to church and not serving the Lord and doesn't have a reputation, he still could be a loser. You understand this? But if he doesn't even have a reputation of being a lover of Jesus and all that we can see externally says he loves Jesus, don't give him the time of day. And so remember that their tactics are, I'm harmless. I'm from a far country. Babylon. Little bitty itty Babylon. No risk. No risk. And then Hezekiah says, well, what'd you show him? Verse 4. What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah said, all that is in mine house. Again, you see the focus. Have they seen? There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. You see, what happens with the enemy? Is there any wisdom in that? Do you think that's a good idea? Right? I mean, you know, it's not like our world is the most peaceful world in almost human history. Right? And so I know there are wars and rumors of wars, but that's going to escalate. You're going to see that escalate. But it's so amazing, right? But in this time, it's like you had to, you know, watch your back. It was the dumbest thing Hezekiah could do. Let me show a foreign power all my treasures. But you see, he was deceived. It's exactly what the devil did to Eve. He said, oh, Eve, you will be like God. Oh, Eve liked that. Remember, the devil used the three tactics in 1 John 2:16. The pride of life, lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. He used all three of those. He hasn't changed his tactics since then. She saw that the fruit was good to eat. and that it would make one wise. The tactics of the enemy. Let me quickly show you this. It's pride costs more than we can imagine. Costs way more than we can imagine. Look at this. After Hezekiah says all this, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." This is the first time. This is the first time that the Babylonian captivity has been mentioned. Isaiah tells Hezekiah, the Babylonians. And it kind of probably went in one ear and out the other for Hezekiah, because who was the world power at this time? The Assyrians. And he might have thought, because you know this, preachers do this, you guys have heard me, when you know sometimes I'll say Hezekiah and I meant Isaiah, sometimes I say Isaiah, I meant Hezekiah. You know, sometimes, you know, when I was talking about Hagar, I said Sarah. You know, you guys are like, it's really difficult because we get so excited, right? We forget. How many times do you do that? Do I do that often? You guys get involved. But I don't want to, right? So I wonder, you know, Hezekiah, right? Because Isaiah is just a man. A great prophet of God, used amazingly by God. But he's just a man. Difficult job. Are you sure, Isaiah? You said Babylon. But here's the crazy thing. You got to understand this. Hezekiah was a great king. None like him before, none like him after. But Hezekiah was linked to the destruction of the southern kingdom. It was his pride that led to God saying, "They're going to come and take everything they saw." Now, the second thing I want you to see is short-sighted selfishness. It's interesting. Now, let's look at verse 8. "Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." Now, I do believe that this was consistent with 2 Chronicles. Remember with 2 Chronicles, here's what it says in verse 32, chapter 32, verse 26. "Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah." When Hezekiah responds this way, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken," I do believe that there is some humility there. I believe it's consistent with 2 Chronicles 32, 26, that he humbled himself. He so humbled himself that it looks like all of Israel knew this, and they humbled themselves. And very much like Nineveh, God turned his wrath away or delayed his wrath for future generations. But remember this, look at verse 7, he says, "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Eunuchs just means, if you guys want, they can't have kids. Okay? Your sons, no children. And so, what Hezekiah then says in verse 8, "For there," he said moreover, "for there shall be peace and truth in my days." I don't want to be that way. If God... And God didn't give Hezekiah this option. Remember, God gave David an option with three choices, and he really let God decide. But Hezekiah said, "It's good." He said, "It's good. For there shall be peace and truth in my days." You see, he's still battling selfishness, isn't he? It was about His, unto me, mine. And even now, though he did repent, and I love this, the repentance was real, the repentance was true. God said that his wrath would not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. He loved Hezekiah. But here's the sad part. Hezekiah was a great king. 29 years he reigned. And he did great things for the kingdom of Judah. But he didn't finish well. The Babylonians got sight. Looks like their first understanding of all that Jerusalem and the southern kingdom could offer them. This is kind of for the older folks right now. Will we finish well? Will it bother you if you finish so poorly that the consequences of your sin never personally applied, but that will affect an entire nation? So let's not talk about an entire nation. Are you king of a nation? No, but you're king of your family. Let's finish well. Let's learn from Hezekiah. Hezekiah is better than anybody in this room. He loved God more than anybody in this room. That ought to terrify us. I haven't said a whole lot good about Hezekiah except for the past. Hezekiah blew it. He was full of pride. Pride is that horrible thing that it's about me. What we must always remember is everything in our lives, you do well. It's about God. God blesses you. It's about God. God does something good and wonderful. It could be temporal, financially. It's about God, not about you. It ought never to come out of a Christian's mouth. Well, I. Where we are comparing ourselves to some, what we might state as a loser. You see, it's not about us. If God blesses you with talent, it's for His glory. If God blesses you with treasure, it's for His glory. If God blesses you with time, it's for His glory. Don't be selfish with your time. Don't be selfish with your treasure. Don't be selfish with your talent. You see, what will drive us to be selfish with all those is pride. It's all about me. You see, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Most of us know when we lust, and you know, whether it's in a sensual way, or we lust when it's in a covetous way, but most of us, we don't know how much pride has eaten us up. Pride is what lifted the devil up in pride. You want to be like the devil? Then don't be eaten up with pride. Let me read this story and I'll finish. Palm Monday donkey. The donkey awakened, his mind still savoring the afterglow of the most exciting day of his life. Never before had he felt such a rush of pleasure and pride. He walked into town and found a group of people by the well. I'll show myself to them, he thought. But they didn't notice him. They went on drawing their water and paid him no mind. Throw your garments down, he said crossly. Don't you know who I am? They just looked at him in amazement. Someone slapped him across the tail and ordered him to move. Miserable heathens, he muttered to himself. I'll just go to the market where the good people are. They will remember me. But the same thing happened. No one paid any attention to the donkey as he strutted down the main street in front of the marketplace. The palm branches! Where are the palm branches? He shouted. Yesterday you threw palm branches. Hurt and confused, the donkey returned home to his mother. Foolish child, she said gently. Don't you realize that without him, you are just an ordinary donkey? Without Christ, we are just an ordinary donkey. Let's pray.